السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders, brothers, mothers, and sisters in Islam, we all know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this world for one specific purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very avowedly, very clearly mentions this in the Quran Sharif. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds to us that the purpose of us being created, He's created us for a specific purpose, and that is to worship Him, to make His ibadat, to recognize Him, to be obedient to Him. The question is, what does this mean? Ibadat and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it entail and what does it mean? Today we have restricted and we've misunderstood what is ibadat. Ibadat and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only merely our salah, our namaz, our tilawat and recitation of Quran Sharif, our dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other outwardly seeming acts of worship. It's not only that. Rather, ibadat, worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a conglomeration and embodiment of many other daily activities that also fall under this explanation and this definition of worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recited at the beginning the verse of the Quran Sharif where Allah ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. There's no time to even go into the translation, the full translation of the verse and the ayat of the Quran Sharif. In simple words, Allah ta'ala instructs us that if you have true iman and you are a true believer, those who believe, those who have iman, those who are Muslims, then only eat and devour and nourish yourself from the wholesome and halal of what we sustain you. And by doing so, you'll be doing good after that. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you really want to make His ibadat. So one side, we understand that our purpose for creation is to worship Him and to be obedient to Him. But in the same token, we find that we have many daily responsibilities, namely to earn a halal livelihood, to eat, to drink, to work, to carry out a profession. A person is in some profession, whether in the medical field, whether in the law field, in whichever other field a person be, he's some artisan. Whether it be he's a builder, whether it be an electrician, a plumber, we need all this in our society. But how do we convert all these activities that we do daily into ibadat and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we marry the two? How do we make it such that these acts that we do every day, which is compulsive for us to do, to earn a halal livelihood, to sustain ourselves, our families, etc., how do we make it ibadat and obedience and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ulama have mentioned, the scholars have mentioned three things. Number one, whatever you do in your life, if you fulfill these three conditions, it becomes ibadat and a means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we gain rewards through that. We are rewarded for those actions. Number one being, the action has to be correct. It doesn't mean that we do an incorrect act, a prohibited action, and we hope rewards from there. Very commonly we find people will ask this question, that I will gamble, I will steal, I will embezzle, I will extort funds, so many things I will do which is totally incorrect to do, but my intention is correct. What my intention is, I want to then use it for charity. I want to help the poor, feed the needy, and like that, so many other good intentions the person has. The intention in an incorrect action does not legitimize that action. The action is still incorrect. So the first and foremost, the action has to be permissible and correct. Secondly, the intention that we do the action with. A person is opening his business every day. He's going to his profession. He's practicing his whatever profession it be. He's carrying out his mundane and his normal daily activities that he normally does. What intention the person has makes a very big difference. And thirdly, in which way it is carried out. Is it carried out in the correct way, with trustworthiness, truthfulness, veracity, fidelity, rectitude, with all the correct qualities that a person is supposed to carry out his profession, his business, his daily life? So these three conditions are very important. By us fulfilling these three conditions, there are others also, but these are the main three conditions, inshallah, whatever we do will become a cause and a means of ibadat and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that we will be rewarded for that as long as these three conditions are fulfilled. In that way, we are fulfilling our purpose of being created, and we're not going in contrast, we're not in contravention of our purpose of creation. This aspect of halal income is most important. When whatever you eat and how you are nourished and sustained with, that is how you will then act and perform accordingly. We find today the amount of haram people are being sustained with, people are being nourished with, and they are devouring and eating that. The effect definitely comes in their lives. There are many ways it can have the effect on them, on their families, on their children, and progenies to come. Allah Ta'ala has given the same instruction to the Anbiya, the prophets, same instructions to the normal believers like ourselves. And the third, Allah Ta'ala has given the same instruction to mankind at large, Muslim or non-Muslim. One is, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. Second, the verse I recited at the beginning, Ya ayyuhar ladina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. And third, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Normally, when you give an instruction, the people on a higher, how you say, hierarchy, the higher level people, have a different instruction and command compared to the normal masses, compared to the normal people. This is such an important and intrinsic matter of our life that Allah Ta'ala has given the same instruction, the same command to the highest, the prophets, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat, that, O prophets, eat only that which is wholesome and halal. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Normal believers, only that which is wholesome and halal, eat that. And mankind at large, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Eat only that which is halal and wholesome from the land, and what is on earth, eat that much. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in one hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرُ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ لِلسَّمَاءِ. He speaks about a person who is dirty, disheveled, traveling for a long distance, lost his conveyance, in such a pitiful state, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, يَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, O Allah, help me, help me. I have no food, no means of transport, traveling, etc., help me in the state. Now, if someone has to come to us in that state, we'll feel pitiful for him. Whichever way we can assist the best we can, that is our duty, we will do so. But despite his pitiful state, no conveyance, he's in a very serious predicament, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept his dua. He does not accept his supplication and his prayer. Why? وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ. His food, what is eaten, is not permissible, prohibited, haram. Same with his drink, what he's drunk. What he was given to drink, he drank, that is also prohibited. مَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ. What he's wearing is also prohibited and haram. غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ. He's been nourished by haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How can his dua be accepted? What we learn from this, one of the major causes of our du'as not being accepted, our prayers and supplications not being accepted, is that we are being nourished, we are eating, we are drinking, we are wearing that which is not allowed for us in our lives. How important it is for us to be concerned about this. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, famous Sahabi, he comes to Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have one very special request. He says, O Prophet of Allah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want you to ask Allah to make me mustajabu da'awat, that whatever dua I make must be accepted. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, O Sa'ad, if you exercise caution in regards to one matter in your life, whatever dua you make will be accepted by Allah. And that is that if you are concerned, if you exercise caution with regards to what you are being nourished by, what you are eating, then you will find whatever dua and supplication you make will be accepted by Allah. Then Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O Sa'ad, I take a qasam and take an oath in Allah, the one whom my soul is in his hands. That means by Allah. Wallahi, I take walladhi nafsi biyadi. I take an oath by Allah that if a person is nourished by one morsel of haram, one luqma, one morsel of haram, for 40 days, none of his acts of ibadat and worship and prayers will be accepted. For 40 days. He may be absolved of his responsibility, but more than that, nothing else. He'll be given no rewards, no thawab. His ibadat will not be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Whether it be his namaz, his salah, his fasting, his umrah, his hajj, his charities, etc. So let us be very concerned about this. And by us being concerned, as I said, the three conditions, do the right action, with the right intention, and thirdly in the right way, we'll find all this will become a form of us worshipping, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we'll be rewarded greatly. Today we find so common the amount of lies people speak, the amount of promises people break, the amount of deceit, the amount of embezzling, the amount of stealing, the amount of usurping the rights of others, not fulfilling their rights, whether it be of husband and wife, children, parents, grandparents, family members, debtors, creditors, whether it be lessor to lessee, lessee to lessor, that means our landlord to tenant, whether it be of our neighbors, whether it be of mankind at large, Muslim, non-Muslim. Rights are not fulfilled. And we think that we got away. We spoke a lie. We used the most crookedest lawyer that we could find. With all due respect, but many a times they are even Muslims. I do not say all. I repeat, I do not say all, but there are many out there, despite being a Muslim, having a Muslim name, but they'll show you every loophole legally to come out of a situation although it's incorrect for you to come out of the situation and not pay the person as well. People will have liquidation, sequestration, administration orders. Change the names of the businesses, CCs, PTY Limited, and so many other legal loopholes they'll use. Why? Not to pay the creditors what is due to them. Then open under a different name and operate again. Same person, same people, a few changes here and there, but a different name. In the previous company you cannot attach, you cannot claim from, and they think they got away in this world. Respected listeners, there is no way that we can ever get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I repeat, there is no way we can get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't pay here, in this dunya, in this world, while we are alive here, we are definitely going to pay in that grave and hereafter. So rather pay here than paying there. Make amends. Simplify our lives. Pay what is due. Avoid those sources of income which is haram, like gambling. Today, gambling has become so common. In the recent past, I myself have seen certain people that they could be people that are outwardly dressed the correct way in the masjid, performing the salah, namaz, etc. But when it comes to gambling, they're in the front line. Whether it be by form of this lotto, whether it be by form of any other form, there are so many other forms, whether it be the actual gambling, physical, at the actual gambling dens. There are so many other ways of gambling. Let us be careful of these ways of earning haram into our systems, ourselves, our families, and our progenies to come. One person mentioned that I will, as I said earlier also, that I will win this lotto, those few millions, and I will build this masjid, that borehole, help those poor people, feed so and so people, etc. Remember that million, 2 million, 5 million, 3 million, 4 million, whatever you have to win, a person must suppose in his mind that I'm earning these millions. If a person supposedly won 2 million, I have earned and I've won 2 million swines and pigs. Each ran is one swine, one khinzir, one pig. I've earned that. How can I eat that? How can I feed my family? How can I feed my progenies to come? Let us be very concerned about this. I conclude on two hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he mentions that a person لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل أربعة. That no person will be allowed to move the day of Qiyamah until he answers four questions. An عمري فيما أفنى, how you spent your life. Second, عن شبابي فيما أبلى, adolescence, when you are young, youth age, how you spend that time. Thirdly, عن مالي من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه, how you earned and where you spent your wealth. وعن علمي ماذا عمل عليه, how much you practiced on your knowledge. So our source of income and where we spend, it doesn't mean it's our wealth. We can spend how we want to spend, which way we want to spend, by wasting, etc. Be concerned about where we earn and how we spend our wealth. And the last hadith, the hadith, famous hadith of Muflis. Time is limited, but the gist of that hadith, well, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his sahaba, who atadruna wanil muflis, who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba replied, man la dirham lahu wa la mata'. A person doesn't have wealth, doesn't have any goods of the world, he's bankrupt. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, الَّذِي يَأْتِي يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, who is a bankrupt person? On the day of Qiyamah, he'll come to Allah, he'll stand in front of Allah. بِصَلَاتٍ كَثِيرًا وَصِيَامٍ كَثِيرًا, plenty namaz, plenty fasting, plenty acts of good, whether it be of umrah, hajj, charity, etc., etc. But when it came to the rights of people, ضرب هذا أكل مال هذا, that when he came, he devoured the wealth of people. He hit so and so. He شتم هذا, he verbally abused people. Whether verbal abuse, whether it's physical abuse, whether it be financially where he usurped the rights of people and did not pay his dues. Whether it be in form of inheritance, wills, estates, partnerships, not pay non-payment of debt, etc. What will then happen? How he'll become bankrupt? He's got a lot of good on one side to his credit. But what will then happen is that the good that he's done in this world will be given to those people who he did wrong to in this world. If he never paid debts, his good deeds will be given to those people. He never did not give out the shares of heirs, whether it be of the females, the orphans, etc. His good deeds will be given to them. And once his good deeds end, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, when his good deeds end and cease, no more good deeds now to give, the sins of those people that he did wrong to in this world will be taken and placed onto his account. As a result, he'll become bankrupt in the hereafter. Instead of going to Jannat, he'll be placed into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and give all of us a tawfiq, hidayat, and understanding that we understand our purpose of being created, and would whatever we are doing in this world, do it the correct way. Firstly, the action has to be correct. Secondly, the intention has to be correct. And thirdly, most important is that we do it the correct way. Halal and haram, be concerned about that. Abstain from all the incorrect avenues of income, whether it be of gambling, stealing, etc. Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to practice. وَأَخِذَهُ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ